Yeah, welcome to a basic or to an introduction to the OpenSUSE maintenance process. Some look at the technology and some of the philosophies and also the people behind it. My name is Markus Meissner. I'm Project Manager Security at SUSE and I'm also part of the OpenSUSE maintenance team. The OpenSUSE maintenance team is basically currently just staffed by SUSE employees, but could also take some volunteers. So we have Benjamin Brunner, Jens Mammen, who is our intern. Benny is part of my of the team I'm in, and also Andreas Stieger, the other project manager of security. We four basically take care of the OpenSUSE maintenance as coordinators. What are the goals of the maintenance? So basically, maintenance happens after the release, and our goals are to keep these users free of security issues, free of bugs, and also, if possible, enhance the experience in a carefree way. What does mean carefree? Carefree means that you can install the updates and don't need to worry that something breaks. So it's not as hot off the press like Tumbleweed, where like, for instance, the GCC6 update yesterday broke some parts. We want to avoid that. We want to have it like that the users that are not so familiar with all the low-level technology or with rescuing your system really can install the updates and don't have problems operating them. But they still stay secure and also have less bugs. So what do updates for? As said, we do bugs, security fixes. If something is missing, occasionally the release process misses stuff, or some people say, yeah, it would be totally cool if we would have this package for this product, then we can also add it. Some improvements, but for improvements, usually we rely on the future products and also some features. So we are not strictly against, for instance, doing version updates or feature updates. It's just that we still need to fulfill the carefree aspect that nothing should break during the update. So nothing should be a risky update. What we cannot do updates for, we cannot do updates for the installation. Of course, we cannot change the installation media. We don't want to do new kernel versions. So we do minor version updates if the kernel is still in a stable process, but major versions are always a bit too risky. So the Evergreen project tried or did a 3.12 update, and that went surprisingly well. So that might be revisited at some point in time. But so far, we were working quite good with the same kernel version over the lifetime of a product. Major library versions are out of the question because the major version, then we would need to recompile, and we are not recompiling the packages. We are just releasing the updates for the packages that we fix bugs in. New build tools or change dependencies is difficult, and we also cannot really remove packages. We can, of course, do a hack, let the package be obsoleted by another package, but removing packages is also usually not really possible. What are our limits, the constraints that we face? There's a manpower issue, so we don't have that many developers over all of OpenSUSE. There are a lot of people focusing on Tumbleweed, on the new stuff, less on the old. Banff, I don't know. Banff is, of course, a topic. I'm not even thinking about it with my fat DSL line, but some people might have less than 16 megabit at home. so pushing out multi-gigabyte updates every week is definitely not an option, because that would, with our mirror structure, we would cope with that, but people might have slower bandwidth or paid bandwidth that would cause them troubles. We are also not doing much QA, so not doing much manual QA. We have a testing setup, so we have a test repository that people can look at, and since some weeks, some months, we have open QA. I will talk about it a bit later. So we cannot do much QA. Also, our build power is not really limited, but we also have to take care about the build power. And especially Kulo, Dominic, and so on, they really want to focus on Tumbleweed and Factory, bringing new stuff to the people. So we do version updates for the bigger things like Firefox, Opera, Chromium. We also did version updates for LibreOffice. LibreOffice is a bit bigger, a bit more problematic, but we did version updates for that. Minor version updates for all the usual suspects that you might imagine, PHP 5 bind, the kernel. For Java and KDE, for Java we ship what the OpenJDK Foundation gives to us, so basically the minor version updates. Our KDE team always supplies us their minor version updates for the KDE frameworks, no longer KDE 4, but now KDE 5, the framework, minor version updates, and we also ship a lot of bug fix updates. So how does the technical project setup look like? So for 13.2 as an example, 13.2 GA, that is the product development code stream, it's frozen as we get to it. Then we have the update repository. The update repository is actually not building. It gets copies of binaries and sources, and out of that project is the update repository, the actually YUM repository generated. And all the staging, all the preparation happens in so-called maintenance incidents, named OpenSUSE, colon, maintenance, colon, running number. For every update, we have one such incident, and you will probably have seen them already. And the user submissions, they usually look like home, username, branches, OBS maintained, and package name. So it's a two-stage process. The user submits to us, we coordinate it, we stage it in this maintenance incident, and in the end release it to the update project. How does the packager prepare the update? So he branches the package he wants to fix, he or she, either with the maintenance branch command, mbranch, or with the option minus m, which basically does the same thing, from OpenSUSE 13.2 or 13.2:update, and it will result in a package named hello.suffix:opensuse13.2:update. Basic package, you can edit it, you can apply your changes, and in the end, when you are done, if you have multiple packages, you can use OC maintenance requests to submit. Alternatively, you can also submit the normal package as with a submit request that will convert it into a maintenance request in the end. If we, after we accept the incident, it will be looking like this. So if you submitted both hellos for 42.1 and 13.2, we have both sources in the same incident, and now it becomes also clear why there is this funny suffix to it, because we can have the versions of hello for 13.2 and 42.1 in the same project, but we somehow need to be, differentiate between the different sources. Also, the project is set up via its configuration that the 13.2 package builds only against the 13.2 updates and the 42.1 against the 42.1 updates. There is a semi-magic file called patch info. So it looks, it's a bit of XML. You can write it already with the OC patch info command, or we will write it if it's not present. Basically says who the packager is, what the category of the update is, which is either recommended or security, and there's also the optional category. The rating, interesting mostly for security updates, which is critical, important, moderate, or low. The summary line is the one that's printed in the Yast online update in the overview. And also in the super info somewhere. And the long description, so the summary is a one-line thing, and the description can be a multi-paragraph textual information. And specifically, we list in a special issue list the bugs that are fixed and also the CVEs that are fixed. These are represented in also special metadata in the YUM repository and are also shown by the, for instance, just online update or by the super patch information. If you submit something to us, please follow some of our policies, our rules. Try small self-contained fixes, because if you do larger changes, there's always more risk of breakage than if you just do a small fix, just fixing the bug. The changes entry should be linear to the previous update, so just add changes entries on top. The Bugzilla number should be mentioned. Here I still use BNC for bugzillanovel.com, but more commonly for OpenSUSE is BOO, bugzilla.opensuse.org, or you can use bugzilla.suse.com, BSC. So all three prefixes for bugs are working. And also, please also mention, similar as the factory has this policy, the patch file names that you submit. And if you touch a spec file that is not usually maintained by you, try to follow the rules that these guys follow in the patch file. For instance, the GNOME team have a strict patch tagging style where you have a command, a comment, where the patch is from, who did the patch, and so so follow the style that the other guys already did in the same spec file. The patch info editor that's used by us, that can the patch info edit the patch info that I showed before, that's in a web interface, but usually used by us, probably not by you. So once you have the package has submitted, the maintenance incident, we will review it and accept it, or we might also decline it if something is broken. There's also a review bot, so if you are submitting a package that where you are not a maintainer, the maintainer will get a review request. So if you are seeing suddenly a review request for a maintenance submission, that means that that specific developer that submitted the fix is not listed as a maintainer. And you can, at this time, review the submit request, either decline or approve the review, or contact the submitter and work with him if something is not really working out. So this is to avoid bypassing the regular package maintainers with such fixes. So once we accept the incident, there will be this maintenance incident. Number is currently around 5,000 something. The maintenance coordination team is responsible for it, so the packager has no write access there anymore. We will take care that it builds. If it doesn't build, we will get back to the packager, or we will try to fix it ourselves, or for secondary architectures, just disable the architecture if it's too troublesome. We write the patch info, we check that all the rules are applied, and also check for dependencies. In the end, once it has all built, on download.opensuse.org, the update test repo will get automatically the content of this update. Okay, that's still a bit the overview that I showed in the text form before, but it's not so interesting. So once we are finished with setting up the incident, we issue a so-called release request that will lock this incident, so the incident will not change anymore, so that the exact binaries and the exact sources as we had at that lock request will be pushed into the update channel. Here's the update test repository that you can add to your systems if you want to have testing, or if you just only want to test a specific incident. Also, the repositories of every incident are published on download.opensuse.org. So if you want to test it. The release request then has three review steps, or two review steps actually. So the source review, like with the factory submissions, every source change must be reviewed by a second set of eyes. So basically, the review team will review your change and approve or reject it. Optional, we have an OpenSUSE QA team that tested so far the kernels and the update stack, where the goal is basically that the system should boot after the update. So if we have updates that are critical to booting, like the kernel, like the update stack, then we will request specific manual QA, but usually we will not request manual QA. And for leap42.1, you will also see the OpenQA maintenance review bot. So that will auto, so once this review is added, it will trigger an OpenQA job. Once the QA job has finished, it will approve this review. And after all the reviews are done, and usually after a wait time of like 7 days to capture reports from people using the test repositories, we release the update. So if you're wondering why your update is going out slow, we usually wait for 1 week. If it's more urgent or a critical security fix, we will do that quicker. So once it's released, we'll land in the this human repository for 13.2. In the update repository, you will see the source link of package hello going to hello dot this number from the incident, and also the patch info dot number of the incident, which contains the binaries and the update info XML, which will which has all the meta information for the update stack for super or just online update to show. We can remove the update easily by just removing this patch info. So if you know that something broke in your update or if you notice something, tell us. We can then decide if we want to remove it. It's just as simple as removing this virtual package. What changed with Leap? So what changed in the last year? So Leap is a synergy or a mix between SLES and OpenSUSE. There are a lot of talks about it. I will not go into detail, but there's one magic file that is used. There is a file called 00meta, a package called 00meta, and there's just one file inside, a lookup.yml, which is a line-based format, and it contains like this, for instance, network manager, colon, and the project it was taken from. It was for 42.1, it was network manager was taken from factory. Or glibc was taken for 42.1 from the /12 SP1 GA, or at this time the update repository. And third option is, for instance, Docker. Docker was specifically made for 42.1. It was not taken from factory, but there was a specific Docker version. we can change this adjustment. But we usually would not do massive changes. If we can migrate to a SLES package, that would ease the maintenance effort by the OpenSUSE team. That would be good. But it's possible. But usually we try not to. So how do updates get into leap42.1? The SLES packages, once SLES releases the update, we have a script that runs every hour that auto-imports an update from the external OBS-facing SUSE SLE12 or SLE12 SP1 update project, creates an incident, sets up the incident, copies over the patch info from SLES, and starts building. So we only have to review at that time that it builds and that the patch info is correctly worded. Otherwise, it is fully automatically copied over. That also makes it a bit difficult for OpenSUSE contributors to make changes to SLES-specific packages. So in those cases where you want to touch a SLES-specific package, it's best to open a bug and assign it to the maintainer, because if we accept update for such a SLES package, it would be overwritten by the next SLES update of this specific package. So that's something that's one process step that is a bit difficult that we still need to work a bit on. The factory and fork level packages are handled like OpenSUSE 13.2 and all older versions. You basically submit the maintenance request and we release it as a regular update. I have some statistics run beginning of this week. so far we shipped 307 SLES imported updates and 386 non-SLES imported updates. So there is quite a balance. If you compare the packages on OpenSUSE Leap, there is more of 1-to-5 relationship. So 1,000 from SLES and the rest, I'm not sure, 1,000, I don't know, but there's a different balance, different relation than what we released as updates. Of course, we have 32, 33 Clamav database updates that, because we in SLES we do weekly Clamav database updates for build virus scanning. So these could be removed and it would still leave 270 versus 386. And we see Xamarin, PHP 5, Grub 2, the OpenSUSE maintainers did not need to take care about it, or NTP or systemd, OpenSSL. So quite a number of packages that are high maintenance have been taken care of by the SLES maintainers. For the non-SLES updates, the highest counts are the web browsers. Chromium we do not ship on SLES, so we cannot take it from there. And Firefox, we have a specific, we are not following, so SLES is following the ESR release lines, but OpenSUSE is following the regular release lines, so there we cannot easily align it. And I don't think the OpenSUSE users would appreciate using the ESR release, because it's a bit more outdated. I talked about OpenQA. We use OpenQA, so Ludwig has set this up, and it's a bit beta testing still, so we're still watching it. It's not, it is a flaky occasionally. So what it does is does install the updates in a very specific manner and sees problems during installation. It does various desktop testings that is taken from the factory OpenQA. So there's a list used from the factory OpenQA testing. And it is hooked in via request review bot mechanisms. We have actually three categories where we run it. So we run OpenQA on the released updates. And we, OpenQA is also run on all the updates that are currently in testing, all of them at once. And also we run it for specific incidents. The specific incident is hooked up to the review bot. And if you look at openqa.opensuse.org, this is one of the incidents that I looked on in on Monday. And it looks a bit broken, so it doesn't boot on the prepared images. I'm not sure why. But usually there would be more green. So there's green down there, there's a bit yellow down here, but once everything is working, it would auto-approve the update. So I think our OpenQA developers and are working on it, and so that's still work in progress, but it's also very useful because we tested the kernel with it. Usually the kernel waits for a free QA slot of our maintenance QA team, but the kernel QA is the last 42.1 update kernel with the latest security fix. I just looked at the OpenQA passed, and so it didn't need manual waiting for someone manually, so OpenQA already helped there a lot. So basically that's it from my side. We have a portal page, portal maintenance, that shows has some how-tos, how to submit, how to work with maintenance. And you can always mail us at this email address, or if you have a question in Bugzilla to us, set a neat info to maintenance at opensuse.org, then the maintenance team will help you. Yeah, so that's it for a quick maintenance introduction. Are there any questions? Okay. Okay, then thank you.